Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Quick reminder, the sugar industry, or is it the corn industry? I don't know if we can separate them, is looking for a new name for high fructose corn syrup because the PR has just gotten so bad on the old name. And we're going to help them. So go to our website, WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show, and post the new name that you might nominate for high fructose corn syrup. And we will talk about this with an all-star crew coming up in a few minutes, including Anna Lepe. And do we have Marion Nestle for this? Yes. And do we have – who else do we have? Okay. Those guys. And so anyway, go to WNYC.org, post a possible new name for high fructose corn syrup. And Anna Lepe and Mary Nessel and you on the phones will talk about it. But first, the results are in. And while most of us had our own predictions for Tuesday's primary, some were closer than others. WNYC political blogger Ozzie Pabra reached out to some political junkies and his mom, and before the polls opened, compiled their list of predictions on his blog. Ozzie is here with us now. By the way, you can see his stuff at our new politics website, itsafreecountry.org. It's a free country. .org. And we're also joined by two of his top predictors, Streets Blog founder Aaron Napersteck and former lawyer John O'Hara. Hi, Aaron, John, Ozzie. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi.
Now, let's see. John, I think you were closest with your prediction for the Republican gubernatorial primary. What was your Palladino Rick Lazio breakdown again?
I think it was 57-43. It was a Price is Right theory. I didn't hit it as high as it was, but I was the highest.
But you didn't go over the actual retail vote. And Ozzie, the actual actual numbers were?
Palladino got over 60% of the vote. No one had predicted that, at least in conversations with me.
So 57 was pretty close and the best among your predictors.
Right.
John, when did you really believe that Palladino would pull ahead and pull ahead by that much? Because a lot of people were even still predicting a Lazio victory.
No, I just didn't see it. Early on, and when you start a rose garden strategy, as Lazio did, and you're not even in a garden with any roses within reach, it's a mistake. I mean, I could have seen, I mean, we're all political junkies listening in here, so I could understand, like, Jake Javits not debating Al D'Amato in the Republican primary of 1980. But for Lazio to take this approach and try and portray himself as the second coming of Pataki, just wasn't what anybody was looking for in a Republican primary. And I think that goes to the bigger picture of this whole Tea Party movement and how they are essentially, they're misunderstood. I mean, I don't think anybody has really put a proper tag on what this Tea Party is about. Until we understand what they are about, we're just going to keep getting beaten by them.
You want to take a shot at what
yeah,
they are
I'll
about?
Yeah, I'll tell you what I think the Tea Party. The Tea Party people are people who voted for Bush in 2000 and 2004. They consider themselves Christian conservatives, and they're looking back on it now, and they see there was nothing Christian or conservative about invading Iraq, and they feel like they've been lied to. So when Karl Rove comes along and endorses somebody, that is the kiss of death. And we have to understand that the people who are calling themselves Tea Party people are people who have been fooled by the Republican Party, and they're angry, and they're going to get back at them.
But Ozzie, that makes it sound like they're potential Democrats, which I doubt.
No.
Right, and it also makes it sound like they have a moral or religious guidepost along their political roadmap, and that's not always the case. We had a caller on here before who's the head of the Tea Party 365, the Manhattan organization, who basically said that they try to steer clear of some of those religious or moral social issues and really focus on economic issues. And I think that's a lot of what you hear when people get together and identify themselves as Tea Party members or movement, that they're really concerned about the role of government with respect to finances and people's personal money.
And I think that's a growing tension, actually, within right. the Tea Party, as Glenn Beck, for example, stakes it out as a new religious movement at the right. same time that other people are saying, no, let's forget about the social issues from now and just focus on big government. So, Aaron Napersteck, you did not correctly predict the Republican gubernatorial primary. You had Lazio winning, but in Ozzie's Predict the Primaries contest, you were nearly spot on with the Democrat Attorney General primary, Democratic Party Attorney General primary. What was your prediction for the Eric Schneiderman, Kathleen Rice breakdown?
Yeah, I pretty much nailed that one. I think I had Schneiderman at 33, Rice at 31, Coffey at 16, and then was a little bit further off on Brodsky and Denalo, but was pretty close. So
pretty much nailed that one, if he does say so himself.
Right.
Ozzie, how close was he?
He was pretty much spot on. I mean, it was kind of remarkable that most people that I was speaking with had Schneiderman winning, but the margin was so close. A few people were predicting Rice would pull it out, but those that were predicting Schneiderman, I think, were looking at the organization that he had behind him and the fact that most of the votes in the Democratic primary were coming out of New York City and Manhattan specifically.
So, Aaron, what do you think the biggest factor was in Schneiderman just barely pulling ahead of Rice?
Well, I mean, in terms of my own model, you know, I think, in terms of why Schneiderman pulled ahead, it was pretty clear that, you know, sort of all the New York City kind of Democratic power players were pulling for him and were working hard to get out the vote. I mean, I even got a couple of calls, you know, that said, hey, would you come and you know, leaflet for Schneiderman, you know, on the Upper West Side at 7 a.m., which I politely declined. But, you know, in terms of my own model, I mean, for me, it's kind of like I've developed this turns out to be a very accurate model where, you know, I take a look at the kind of smart, principled outsider candidate that I tend to vote for in any New York State election, not to say Schneiderman's not those things, too. But right off the bat, I can usually assume that the candidate that I am voting for is going to lose. So in this case, I really liked Kathleen Rice. I voted for her. And because I was voting for Rice, that was a strong signal in my predictive model that Schneiderman was going to win this thing.
This is the bellwether for nothing theory.
It's a critical piece of data in my model. Who am I voting for? And they will probably come in second or third. So the fact that I also predicted the third place finisher is probably more due to just sheer psychic power more than anything else.
And have you had lunch recently with President Mondale or President Dukakis?
Not recently, but I did meet Mondale once.
And by the way, we have Jimmy Carter on the show on Monday. I just thought I'd throw that in.
I'm a big fan of Carter, needless to say.
And we saw what happened to him.
But he did win once.
Once.
Absolutely.
I actually have a theory that it helped Schneiderman that there were so many competitive races in his Senate district.
Yes.
His own seat was a highly competitive race, although it turned out to be not that close, right?
Right.
There
was Adriano Espaillat, who was running to replace him. There was Mark Levine, a very well-qualified progressive Democrat.
Mostly those two were out there, and they were campaigning heavily in the district. Then you had the
the race for Adriano's seat.
Right, in that he was leaving in the assembly.
Right.
I live in that district. There was a lot of literature being floated around, robocalls like crazy.
The highest turnout districts in the city as well. I mean,
one of the highest. It's the Upper West Side.
Yeah.
And into Washington Heights. Dominican turnout is very good. Dominicans do very well at census returns,
right,
as well as showing up for elections, and into Riverdale, which is another area that votes. So all these neighborhoods that Schneiderman represented. So that was his base. And those people were going out to vote, including for other reasons.
Right. And his main rival, Kathleen Rice, was from Nassau County. Now, Nassau and Long Island particularly had a very active political season. You had Rick Lazio, the Republican gubernatorial candidate, from there. You had a very contested congressional race on the eastern end of Long Island with the first congressional district, but those were Republican primaries. Though that political engagement was on the other side of the aisle. So
right,
where there was a lot of activity in Kathleen Rice's home base, it was not on her side of the aisle.
And even the Charlie Rangel race was in that same
stretch
of Eric Schneiderman's district and the Bill Perkins race. So,
right,
you know, there was all that juice getting people to the polls one way or another. All right. So now we're going to put you on the spot, John and Aaron. Now that you've won the primary predictions contest from Ozzie Pabura's Empire blog on itsafreecountry.org. If Rick Lazio runs on the conservative line, we're assuming a three-way race here.
This will be interesting.
Now, John, since you got the gubernatorial primary right, assume the three-way race of Lazio, Cuomo, Palladino. It is not good enough to say an Italian will be our next governor. What are your predictions?
That's a safe one, I guess.
Yeah, Italian American governor. Beyond that, do you have numbers for the three-way race?
I think it's going to be razor close. I don't think anybody in this election
you
is
do?
The vote. Yeah, I do. I do. I'll tell you why. Because the rationale of vote for Lazio on column C to preserve the Conservative Party is not going to fly in this election. Anybody who's a conservative or conservative-leaning Republican has had it with the Conservative Party, not being conservative or a party of Pataki. There's a reason why they were created. So I don't see Lazio drawing much at all on the Conservative Party line. This is going to be a two-person race, and Mario Cuomo has never been a big vote-getter, and he's never been a vote-getter.
Andrew Cuomo, whatever.
I mean, you know, it just isn't there. And Palladino is starting to get a little bit more normal as time goes on. I guess he's...
That's always a good qualification.
I'm sure I'm last night on CNN, and he's starting to seem like, you know, he can be let out of Buffalo. But no, there is...
Tacking to the normal for the general election.
Yeah, it's going to be close. This is not a runaway.
You got any? Come on, give me a number.
I think Cuomo will win by 2 or 3 points.
Dare you jump in again, even though you didn't get the gubernatorial primary right, Aaron?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think one of the things you really got to look at here is, you know, Palladino won this nomination with 2.6% of all the registered voters in New York State. I mean, he was elected by a fraction of the voters. I think you got to look at the fact that Andrew Cuomo is basically a political cyborg. I mean, the guy is not like a policy wonk or a namby-pamby liberal. I mean, I think Cuomo is all about politics, and he's all about winning. I think he's going to be good at this. And as my favorite Twitterer, you know, fake Sheldon Silver, has noted, the more you hear Carl Palladino talk, the less you like him. And he might be getting more normal, but so far, I mean, just if you've watched the guy, it's just stunningly unappealing. So
Is that the actual handle, by the way, at fake Sheldon Silver?
It's actually at Shelley Silver.
Okay.
Highly entertaining. All that being said, people are, you know, obviously really upset at Albany. Cuomo is already having to say a lot of things that alienate his base in the labor unions. Palladino's running around the state shouting, you know, status Cuomo, status Cuomo. So that stuff works too. I'm predicting Cuomo 49, Palladino 45, Lazio 6.
49-45-6. So okay, we'll take bank. Just a 4-point spread for Cuomo, John O'Hara is predicting a 2 or 3 point spread.
And there could be a Republican Attorney General. I mean, I just don't think that race is over.
Dan Donovan, already endorsed by Mayor Bloomberg.
There's a rationale for having someone who's just not part of a Cuomo machine, even though Schneiderman's got that in his favor, though. I think if Rice had won the primary, I think Dan Donovan would have won the election.
And now, now you're thinking Donovan anyway is going to win the election?
No, I think Donovan has a shot. I think he would have definitely won if Rice had won the primary.
We're going to have to leave it there. Aaron Napperstack, the founder of Streets Blog, and former lawyer John O'Hara, who was
I am a lawyer. And listen, freejohnohara.com. I'm trying to get a pardon from the governor. It's freejohnohara.com, and I have an online petition. I was convicted for voting, Brian. You had Chris Ketchum on your radio show about it from Harper's Magazine a couple of years ago.
That's right.
And I was just reinstated to practice law, and Patterson is considering giving me a pardon before I leave office, which is why I take voting so serious now that
All
I
right.
have the right back.
Aaron,
so
you're predicting...
freejohnohara.com.
Got it. Aaron, you're predicting an Attorney General winner?
I think Attorney General winner, I think it's going to be Schneiderman.
All right. And WNYC's Ozzie Paber, you going to do this contest again on a broad scale basis for the general election? These were your two winners of the Predict the Primaries contest.
As long as there's a race and people willing to put their names out in front of their predictions.
And are we going to see it on our new politics website, itsafreecountry.org?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ozzie, John, Aaron, and listeners, check it out. We have a lot there right now, including the daily news and politics quiz from me. Today, I test you on the Bush tax cuts. We also are making a big push as part of the 10 Questions Project that we're doing with the Personal Democracy Forum to get you to nominate questions for candidates in this fall's elections. Many of the candidates have already pledged to answer the questions. So submit yours, see others, vote on your favorites. The deadline is Monday, so do it now or do it this weekend. Submit some questions for the candidates right on the homepage at itsafreecountry.org. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and coming up next, you can help the sweetener industry find a new name for high fructose corn syrup. Stay with us.